Enthusiasm. Thomas Butter's speech to the workshop producing welted footwear on the 17th of November, 1918. I would like to tell you today how important it is to work with enthusiasm, and particularly in this department. The intention of my speech is to provoke such enthusiasm in you. All of you who were working here already before the war are certainly well aware that we are manufacturing now a completely different kind of merchandise. This is a novelty even to those who were working here all the time, because during the war we were making military footwear which demanded much less skill and specialization than do today's shoes. What matters now most is to learn the new production method and to learn it fast. The situation of our enterprise is not at all rosy. In order to pay your wages as well as the bills for goods delivered by our suppliers, we must produce a lot of footwear. Although shoes are in great demand, they still must be of good quality, as retailers are not in a buying mood right now. They are clever and well aware that the products will be getting cheaper day by day, and consequently, they are not buying for fear of a loss. Some of them are afraid of looting, others of losses in rail transit, etc. Our traveling salesmen have a hard time to sell. Already upon return from their business's trip, they might find at home a letter from the dealer asking them to cancel the delivery. This has forced us to expand the network of our own outlets due to our almost exhausted reserves of capital. We should have to stop our production as we could neither pay wages nor for deliveries or raw materials. But even in our own stores, the sales are slow. Already at this time, the public demands shoes of good post-war quality. We must therefore make the effort to produce shoes which meet the needs of the population. The marketing task of the managers of our stores will thus be easier. We must deliver perfect, though inexpensive, merchandise to our outlets. It is an extremely hard task for all of us, because as I have already mentioned, this is a brand new manufacturing process, and we have to familiarize ourselves with it. We can overcome this difficulty only by a full understanding of the importance of supplying our population with as inexpensive merchandise as possible. This will make our work easier and improve their well-being. All of us must keep in mind that we will become affluent only under one condition: if everyone's work is done so well as to be useful to others. A worker who drives a tack in a spot which subsequently has to be stitched over is helping to destroy affluence. As a result of such a mistake, the cobbler's thread tears, and the person who later buys the shoes for the last penny in his pocket, maybe, loses the sole, or at least gets water in his shoes. We must therefore adopt a general working moral which blackballs shoddy jobs. He who passes on to his co-worker a piece of work unfit to be continued cannot be considered an honest man. When the spreader opens badly the channel, the sole cannot be properly stitched on, adhesive cannot be applied, and the folder is unable to close it. We are thus inconveniencing one another. The final result is a factory where each worker produces only 1.5 of shoes instead of 10 pairs, as it is customary in American factories. And who is bearing the brunt of such conditions? All of us. Naturally. And the least fortunate ones particularly. It is obvious that a country where one worker makes 1.5 pairs of shoes daily is worse off than the one where one worker makes 10 pairs. We can see it best when we compare our conditions with those prevailing in Western countries, particularly in America. There, a worker can buy 2 pairs of good shoes for his day's wage. In our country, even the best paid worker cannot afford to buy them for his day's earning. As a matter of fact, with a daily production of only 1.5 pairs per worker, he could not buy them in any case. A factory worker in America is better off than a factory owner in our country. Here, not even a factory owner can afford to buy an automobile, be it solely for business purposes, allowing him to visit more often and in less time his customers and suppliers. In America, every worker owns one for his personal convenience. I do not intend to say that it is entirely your fault. We are all equally guilty. The workers may be more qualified there, but the factory owners, managers, etc. are just as much more clever. Consequently, in order to become as well off as they are, it is most important that we attain the degree of their perfection. I have already outlined the road to such well-being. Every one of us must do his work as needed, by the person it is intended for. Thus is, in the first place, the worker standing next to you.